Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Duving, your host. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the program. We come your way Sundays at 7 a.m., 7 p.m. We're on Monday mornings at 1 a.m. And we stream live at richarddugan.com. And we also archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. Lots of opportunities for you to listen to the programs, to get more information. We link to our guest website. We'll be giving you that website shortly, and we certainly hope that you will avail yourself of that opportunity. I know. I sound like I'm tired, don't I? I sound a little worn out, a little fatigued. There's been a lot going on. Probably a lot going on in your life too, and you just don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Sometimes you just want to stay there and say, you know what, I'll call in sick today. Kids can do whatever they want. The animals, they can feed themselves. It's not a problem. It doesn't work that way. I have lived in Santa Barbara for a long time, 11 years. And quite honestly, I've had animals, chickens, dogs, cats. I want to say rats and elephants, as sure as your barn, but I've never had a unicorn. Well, I get tired, but the chickens don't care. They want to be fed. The dogs, cats, everybody wants to be fed. And things have to get done, and I've got a life's purpose to live. How do I get beyond that? Well, I'm kind of going long here. Not for any particular reason other than I want to introduce my guest to you, Angela Watson. She is the author of a new book that is available to you, Fatigue Warrior. Angela, welcome to the program. Are you tired?
Hi, Richard. Thank you so much. I can totally relate to everything you're saying. I'm sure the listeners can as well.
It is one of those things where, and I have to be honest with you, even on this day, there's a lot going on, and I'm just talking about in my world between all of the various tasks. On this very day, I'm booked to the gills at the radio station. I've got multiple things I have to handle on the personal front. I've got things that I have to take care of for my wife. It's like if I didn't have a full-time job, I'd have a full-time job.
Yes.
And that's just the half of it. I also want to spend time down at the ocean. I'm trying a new thing here on Tell Me Your Story. Every so often, go out to the beach with my little digital recorder and talk to our listeners about a particular subject for an hour. And, sharing that. And there never seems to be enough time. This whole business of the fatigue warrior, talk to us about that in regards to, I guess we'll start at the beginning. What was the impetus for your even writing this particular work? Because I got to be honest with you, it's important.
Yes, thank you. Well, I like to start out conversations like this sharing a quote that I really relate to by Thich Nhat Hanh. And he says, keeping your body healthy is an expression of gratitude to the whole cosmos, the trees, the clouds, everything. So for me, for many years now, I have seen that taking care of my body and really learning how to listen to its messages as it changes over time is an expression of gratitude for life, for my life, and for all life itself. So when I started my journey of really helping others feel better in their body, in their life, in every aspect of their personal and professional life, I started noticing a trend. And which you're alluding to, a trend that, you know, we're all just very exhausted and very fatigued. And I noticed that sometimes that is, you know, you've had a long day, you're going through maybe something stressful, or just our modern life. But also sometimes there is this chronic issue that if you let that exhaustion or let that overworking go on too long, you could then cause some damage in your body and have an issue that is referred to as adrenal fatigue. So I started to see, you know, there's really this common thread, and it is somewhat of kind of like in health, you know, you hear doctors say that inflammation is a, you know, kind of a precursor to to other issues. If you can get inflammation under control, I kind of feel like adrenal fatigue is similar. It's one of those first messages that our bodies send to us saying, hey, I need some attention here. You know, I don't want us to get sicker, so let's work together and feel better. And so that's why I decided I'm going to really focus my work, focus this course and program I wrote it. Wrote Fatigue Warrior on helping people address that fatigue issue to hopefully, ward off other long-term issues or more chronic serious issues down the road.
You know, I was watching one of those ever so popular pharmaceutical commercials for a particular condition. And as a matter of fact, it is dry eye syndrome.
Okay.
And one of the, and of course the they talk about what's causing the condition, and inflammation is part of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a circular condition. It's like you have dry eye syndrome due to inflammation that is caused by dry eye syndrome, and I'm going,
mm-hmm.
What? Wait a minute.
It's a loop.
But when you talk about inflammation, this is something I have been now hearing for probably the last few years, that you can trace inflammation anywhere in the body to pretty much almost every condition we suffer with, every dis-ease. Broken arms, nah, that's not inflammation. That could be stupidity or an accident. For example, I keep asking due to the fact that I lost my sight in my left eye due to glaucoma. Not a big deal. I didn't have that much sight in it from birth. And, of course, now we're keeping an eye on the right eye. Pressure's doing great. But I kept asking, well, okay, I also have hypertension, high blood pressure. There's nothing in the chemistry that shows that, shows the causes of high blood pressure. I says, it's not there. It's in my head. I need a therapist, which is part of what this program's all about.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, is there a connection between the hypertension and the high eye pressure that I'm taking drops for? And they said, and I asked one guy who's very expert in this, he says, well, yeah, there is, but it's a distant link, but it is there is sort of a link there. Whereas my ophthalmologist says, no, there is no link. They're separate. And I just think, no. Body systems are not separate. They're all connected. But inflammation seems to be like the key.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that we eat, especially the things that we eat and drink, make all the difference in the world. Talk to us about this aspect of inflammation, which seems to be that factor that very well may be causing the issues of fatigue in our bodies and in our minds and our hearts and our souls.
Yes. Yeah, you really touched on a good point there that, the body is doesn't necessarily work all separately. So I do also believe in my experience and in my practice that our systems are all connected. Nothing really happens on its own separate from something else. And many of our medical practitioners are trained to work in one specific area, but yet we often need to really look at our bodies in that holistic way, that broader way. So I agree with you that inflammation is a precursor to many diseases in the body. And I think the connection with that and adrenal fatigue, there's probably several, but the one that comes to mind right now is really that hormonal connection. So just in case your listeners are saying, what is, adrenal fatigue? I'll give them a little bit of color around that. Adrenal fatigue really occurs when the adrenal glands, which are those small lumps of tissue located directly above your kidneys, when they become triggered. And the primary trigger of adrenal glands is stress. And by stress, I don't necessarily mean just the, hey, I've got a long day at work kind of stress, but more of the stress of an overproduction of hormones in your adrenal glands. So adrenal glands produce adrenaline, cortisol, and hormones that regulate your sex hormones, estrogen and testosterone. So when your adrenal glands are triggered or overextended, when they're having to work harder than normal, then they're going to produce more of that adrenaline or that cortisol. And if you have that happening in your body over a long period of time, then your adrenal glands will eventually become damaged or, because they're so hyperactive. And so that will throw off your hormones. And I do truly believe that hormones are that connection of everything. And the inflammation connection and adrenal fatigue, I think it all comes down to that hormone issue. And really having those hormones in your body, and there's so many of them, which is why it's so complicated to get that more balanced, can be a factor. But then just like you mentioned with the loop, sometimes you may see that maybe a hormone imbalance thus affects and causes the inflammation, which then can connect to adrenal fatigue. So even though my focus is really on helping people with adrenal fatigue, you've really hit the nail on the head. You're really talking about a whole body wellness program and really working on all aspects of bringing the body's system into a more optimal state. Even if you're addressing just adrenal fatigue, you're still going to be addressing, you know, inflammation through my Fatigue Warrior program. You're still going to be addressing hormone imbalances and that type of thing.
And this Fatigue Warrior, the book, is my five step solution to fight adrenal fatigue naturally. Big issue doing it naturally. I honestly, even though I've done the research to try to find solutions, if you will, to the HP, as I like to call it. No, it's not Hewlett Packard. It's high blood pressure. I am still taking the pharmaceutical at present, hoping one day to either A, never have to take it again, because honestly, I personally believe that most of these diseases, as we become aware of them and then we start to do the research, we start to figure out where the cause is, and we start to work on a solution, it's short term. It does not have to be long term. And I'm hoping and working towards, if not sooner, never having to take another HP pill again and having what I would consider to be normal high blood pressure. And by the way, I never would have been diagnosed if I'd never gone to the doctor when we came to Santa Barbara, which may or may not have been a good thing. But I'm hoping by the time I'm 60, which is about 2.5 years away, that I'll start to phase out of this dis-ease in my life. Do you find that that's kind of what we're looking at when we talk about this issue of this is not a permanent condition, that if we do the things that need to be done, start eating and drinking and exercising and working on more mental and spiritual resolutions, if you will, to those things that are causing the stress? Because that's one of the things you're saying, is that it is predominantly stress related. That we can get out of this funk we're in and move into a place where we are no longer feeling that we're just surviving, but we're starting to thrive and start to live our purpose and move forward.
Yes. Yes. So first I want to, for your listeners, correct something really quick. So my program, Fatigue Warrior, it is a course that is an online course in combination with one-on-one coaching. And then it's not necessarily a book. The five steps to the adrenal fatigue is a free download on my website, actually. So you can go on my website, AngelaWatsonRobertson.com, and download that five steps to heal adrenal fatigue naturally. It's kind of a sneak peek of my course. And then the Fatigue Warrior is the course where you're able to really work with me one-on-one coaching, and then also with the online course as well. So just wanted to let listeners know that. And then your second question, I'm of course not an expert in hypertension, but I agree with you. Many of the diseases of our body are, they're not necessarily life sentences, right? So I love when I'm reminded, you know, that genetics is not destiny and your current state is not destiny. So, you know, things can change. And yes, I have seen, working with many people with adrenal fatigue, or even if they don't know they have adrenal fatigue, they just are like, hey, I want my life back. I feel exhausted all the time. I don't feel vibrant or youthful. And I have some various you know, issues going on. Maybe it's skin issues or digestion issues or mental fog or anxiety and stress or even depression. I do see that if you make some of these lifestyle changes, you really start to work on your diet and variety in your diet, the quality of the food you put in your body, and then work through a process of, you know, maybe adding in some supplements, you know, moving your body more often. And then, as you touched on, starting to work on the mental and emotional aspect of health as well. I do see that you can truly, I mean, I've experienced in my own life with adrenal fatigue. I had really severe adrenal fatigue almost 6 years ago. And through just really changing a lot of things in my life, but in small increments over time, I was able to bring my body back into balance to where I'm not having that adrenal fatigue anymore.
It is also something to take a look at. I want to ask you about this as well. And thank you for the correction there. A misunderstanding on my part. But let me ask you about the aspect, and this may or may not even be related, but I know, again, because it's part of our body systems, pH balance. It's a big thing right now to buy water that has been treated or, I'm going to say molecularly, possibly manipulated to help get our body's chemistry back into its proper pH balance. That if I'm correct, most of us, our chemistry is probably more acidic, and that we need it more to be more alkaline, or maybe it's the other way around. I'm just not 100% certain. But I'm curious yes. as to the relationship between our pH balance and our fatigue, and also obviously the relationship to inflammation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the pH balance, I mean, many of your listeners, when they go into health food stores and they go to, you know, the water dispenser area, they may see, hey, there's regular water and there's the pH water. And so you may say, well, what the heck is that, right? You know, what should I get? And if you go see a naturopathic doctor or, you know, a functional medicine doctor or an osteopathic doctor, they often will check your pH in addition to maybe a microscopy, looking at your blood, things like that. And you may be like, hey, what's this pH thing? Because it's not something that, you know, your traditional primary care physician may check. And so I haven't done specific research on the pH levels and a connection to adrenal fatigue. However, I do think that we now know that a more acidic environment in our body is going to lead to more disease. So I believe there's been some connections even to higher acidic in your body leads to more autoimmune diseases, potentially even precancerous cells and other issues. You know, so in general, just an imbalance, which can lead to, you know, more chronic illness down the road. So many people have found, especially when they are in an acute situation with some disease in their body, that if they balance out that pH, so if they're too alkaline, you do want to bring it into more of that balance. But most people, like you said, are more acidic. And by drinking that that alkaline water, it can reduce the acidity in your body and then bring it into balance. So I do think there's something to that. I have not in the past few years tried that. However, I have worked with some people who've really had an issue with having too much acidity in their body, and they've been able to bring it into balance. And the second piece about water in general that I'm sure you know is just the quality of our water is so huge with our health. And I do think that whether you have an acidic environment or you're just not getting really high quality water in your body, it can drain your energy. There's so many things that could be draining your energy and wiping you out more than just your food. I definitely think you want to be drinking filtered water, you know, spring water that's local and filtered, or reverse osmosis water if you, you know, can purchase it and you're not somewhere you can get that natural or local spring water, and be drinking quite a bit of it and then making sure that quality is as good as you can get.
What about distilled water?
Distilled water is great. I personally use distilled water, like if I'm doing a neti pot, you know, a daily neti pot, or okay. If I'm maybe diffusing something, you know, sometimes other, you know, if people are doing things like colon cleanses, that type of thing, you want to make sure you're using distilled water. I don't think distilled water is necessarily bad, but I don't think you necessarily have to go that far and do the distilled. You can just stick with the reverse osmosis. But I haven't done specific research on that one.
Well, we were purchasing a product, an additive to our water, and it was recommended that you use distilled water. And this was, of course, the process of balancing the pH. Mm-hmm. And there were periods of time between orders. You know, we'd run out, and so we'd have to place the order. And there were a few days where, you know, all we were drinking was distilled water. Now, for me, when I was a kid growing up, anytime I managed to get some distilled water by mistake, I thought, it had a weird taste to it, because mm-hmm. it didn't have the minerals and all of the other things in it that you get from the tap, which is what I used to drink back when I lived in Phoenix. And yet now that when we don't have the additive, that distilled water does not taste strange anymore. And there's no difference to me in that respect, because I've gotten used to it. That being said, this whole process of changing one's, shall we say, regime of food and drink and all these other things, you know, a lot of folks, you know, they say, come New Year's, I'm going to make this resolution. And January 2nd, boom, I am going to town on this resolution to Some will lose weight. Let's say this is, I'm going to get out of this fatigue funk. I'm going to become a fatigue warrior. I'm going to do these five steps. I'm going to solve this problem, and I'm going to move forward. And they go gung-ho, and within probably a week to 10 days, if that long, they're back to their normal life, their old lifestyle prior to January 2nd, because they basically, I think, bit off more than they could chew. It was just too much all at once. What is your recommendation in terms of starting this process? Say they go to fatiguewarrior.com/go to basically get a free guide, the Fatigue Warrior Guide, a five-step solution to fight adrenal fatigue naturally. And this is the newsletter that we're talking about. And they begin that process of getting this information. They're reading about it. Yeah, that resonates with me. I like that. How do I make sure that when I start this, I keep going?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And, you know, I've been in those shoes before. I'm like, heck, I don't want to take on something that I'm not going to be able to really follow through with. And as you said, so many people have those experiences of New Year's resolutions that they're not able to stick with. So what I often, I mean, I'm an integrative nutrition health coach. So of course, my first step I'm going to recommend to people, the baby step, is to look at your nutrition, look at your diet. And in my guide, your listeners will see that I'll say, hey, let's remove any foods from your diet that are taxing your adrenal glands. And I give specifics, you know, reduce your caffeine, reduce added sugars, that type of thing. However, that can also be broken down into a baby step. So this is where I think it's important to work one-on-one with someone while you're making these changes, because when I get on the phone with someone, I can then kind of tell them, okay, specific to where you're at, let's look at what you're eating now, and then let's talk about a baby step that you can focus on for the next week to be working towards this without having to go necessarily cold turkey. So someone who is right now being forced to, you know, eat fast food three times a week or every day, or most of their diet is from, you know, eating out at restaurants, there's going to be a different baby step for that person than someone who is already eating organic and all home cooked food, but yet they are consuming a lot of caffeine, or maybe they're having too much sweetener or sugar in their food. So what I would say is first start with the diet and really look at where you're at now and what's the baby step. And then that baby step could be, all right, I'm drinking 3 cups of coffee a day. Next week, I'm going to go to 1 per day. And you try that for a week. And often, again, depending on the change that you've made, sometimes in the beginning, the first few days, you're going to feel, oh, I don't feel as great. You know, I'm wanting to go back to how I was before. But if you can get over that hump for a few days, you'll often feel better, to where then you start getting some momentum and motivation where you're like, heck, I don't want to go back to how I was before because I feel better now. And I'm, you know, not crashing in the afternoon, or I'm able to sleep well at night, and then I wake up in the morning. So usually, even by making a small baby step change to diet and some of that, you know, nutrition and lifestyle, you'll start to see within a week, sometimes it takes 2 weeks of commitment, you'll start to feel better in a way that will motivate you to keep going. And that's where then you can each week say, okay, now this week, let's take it to the next step. And I definitely am not the kind of coach who's recommending really strict diets. You don't necessarily have to get rid of everything you love. And, you know, it's not like you can never have coffee again. But if someone is really struggling with exhaustion or fatigue and they really need some life changes, I'll say, hey, let's, you know, really cut it for a short amount of time. But at the same time, we're going to be adding back in foods that are really going to boost your energy and things that are also enjoyable to, you know, to drink and eat throughout the day. So really want to focus on the diet first.
I found it fascinating as my big addiction is sodas. Mm-hmm. When I used to bicycle everywhere back in Phoenix, as well as delivering newspapers as a teenager, I designed this wonderful cup holder on the handlebars that would accommodate, I kid you not, would accommodate a 64-ounce plastic cup, or if you want, bucket, all right?
Wow.
And I would fill that with ice and then with soda, Pepsi, Coke, root beer, whatever. And I would bicycle, and I would be drinking this along the way. I would have that right there with me as opposed to a water bottle. And then when I started to, in the last few years, since I moved here, I started to say, you know, I need to reduce and get off of. And so what I started doing was I would reduce it. But then I said, I need to find some alternatives. And but I like the fizz. I like the bubbles. So I went to seltzer water. And fortunately, there are companies that make seltzer water flavored, which was good. Unfortunately, I also came across one that added aspartame, which was not good. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just kept looking for different solutions. And even on the alcoholic level, you know, because beer does not do real well specifically, and those types of beverages in terms of the sugar and then, of course, the high blood pressure and so forth, the inflammation. And so, yeah, well, you're better off drinking wine, you know, or if you can, white wine, red wine would even be even better. But I'm not a red wine drinker. And then I came across these hard ciders and then hard seltzers. And I thought, well, it has the fizz. Now, I mix that with tart cherry juice. I use the black cherry version of that beverage and mix it with tart cherry juice. And that's my – I like that because I like the flavor, number one. I like the fizz. And it is naturally sweetened. Whatever sugar's in there is only in there because of the cherries. Mm-hmm. And it's usually pretty tart. But when I would tell people I was going to get off milk, which I drink very little of, I used to get a half gallon a day from at the market across the street. That's how bad it was. Mm-hmm. Then I switched to what was it? I want to say almond milk. And people, they said, stay away from soy. And then, of course, there's cashew milk. And everybody's coming out with all kinds of the different things. And I would get criticized, especially when it came to the soda thing, that, well, no, that's not good for you, and that's not good for you. The alternatives that I came up with, for whatever reason, from whatever corner, wasn't good. It was, you might as well stay on the sodas. And I thought, well, wait a minute, I'm just trying to do a little stuff. Give me credit for for making this shift, okay? Mm-hmm. Or reducing it from three bottles of soda down to one can, okay? And now I don't feel guilty if I do go across the street and I get a small can of soda. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have.
Do you find that your cravings for the soda are less than they used to be?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. And that to me is one of the biggest things is your support system, your support team. Mm-hmm. You almost want to say, if that's your attitude, you're off my list, okay? You can't come in my lifeboat.
So
let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, and you're right. You touched on some great points there. First, that story of, you know, getting off of the soda or reducing the soda, that is a great example of the baby steps I'm referring to. So, you know, really looking at what works for you, not comparing yourself to someone else, but saying, okay, here's where I'm at now. All right, you know, I'm riding my bike. My soda is so important to me that I even made itself its own little cozy cup area, which is totally adorable, right? But yet I want to make some changes. And so I love how you did these baby steps, you know, hey, let's reduce it. Let's try this alternative. And then you realize that alternative was maybe not as healthy and you kept changing and changing. And now you've found kind of this great middle ground. So of course, as a coach, I would recommend someone to avoid soda 100%, but you know, all of our bodies are different and things in moderation. I do really, you know, practice and preach moderation. And often if you tell yourself, I can never have that ever again in my life, well, then you're going to want it more. So I do find sometimes, even in my own life, if I let myself have whatever an indulgence is, you know, once in a while, then I don't want it as much. Whereas if I tell myself I can't ever, it makes it worse. So I think that your journey with that, with soda, is a great example of being gentle with yourself, but also setting some goals and really trying to improve your health. So congrats on that. I really want to give you props for that. But, you know, back to your kind of your other question about, you know, when people are wanting to make big changes and that support system, I agree with you. That's huge. I mean, it's one of the reasons why people like me, coaches like me exist, is that, you know, you can't make big life changes or even sometimes small changes to your health without that support system. And I would agree that if your, you know, your spouse, your partner, your family, your colleagues, if those people are more supportive, you're going to be more successful. So that's why, just like lots of things, just like changing up your exercise, I recommend that people find someone in their life, you know, a friend, a partner, heck, it could be a colleague at work, that has some kind of similar goal. and you know, really work with that person and focus on encouraging each other. And you may, at least when you're first starting out with changes, you may keep it to yourself. You know, maybe you just have that one friend or partner that you're saying, hey, this is what's going on. I'm craving this, but this is what I'm going to choose to do. But maybe not inviting, you know, the advice of others, because just like you said, everybody's going to have their own opinion. And sometimes when you're in that really vulnerable state in the beginning of making a change, the last thing you want is to be discouraged. You need a coach that's really encouraging you. And then you need mentors and friends, you know, in your life that are supporting you. So I agree. And wouldn't it be great if we could just say, okay, I'll only hang out with people who support us. That's, you know, easier said than done, but at least, you know, kind of keeping your own counsel, maybe keeping some of your life choices to yourself, at least in the beginning, and just having those few really close support partners is the better way to go. And, you know, partnering up with them on, you know, like I talk about meal prepping or grocery shopping or sharing recipes with each other, you know, researching things. And then just like you did, you know, patting yourself on the back, it's like, hey, yeah, you know, maybe I'm not, you know, where I want to be quite yet, but, you know, I'm only having one soda a day versus five, or, you know, I'm no longer, you know, eating at McDonald's every day. I'm, you know, I'm now home cooking three nights a week. Those kind of things are huge for our health.
Well, this is something that I think we want to touch upon in this program, because it's going to affect our ability to evoke the change that we want to see in the world. I mean, if we're, you know, if we're just, you know, ragged out, as it were, you know, like a wet dish rag wrung out, just hanging around and just barely getting through the day. I mean, I have to tell you, I see people coming in here to the radio station. Some of them come in with a can or two of Red Bull, this energy drink.
Yes.
And I'm constantly hearing this throughout the program. I mean, they're not, maybe during the commercial breaks, but it's almost like this person is having trouble breathing. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how much of an effect this Red Bull is having. On top of, you know, the fact that maybe they, you know, I'm not here to judge, but maybe their weight is a little on the other side. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. We're going to get into that aspect of it as well. I'm Richard Dugan here with Angela Watson, and we're talking about her latest work, and it's available to you at the website by the same name. The program is called Fatigue Warrior. Add a .com to that, and you're there. FatigueWarrior.com is the website. Angela Watson is my guest, and we are talking about getting back the energy that you have lost over the years due to a myriad of things, diet and what have you. And Angela, if you'll stay with us, we're going to continue here on the program. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tell me your story.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you for staying with us, both myself as well as Angela Watson, for the discussion on fatigue, the Fatigue Warrior. FatigueWarrior.com is the website. You can go there. You can register for the newsletter. You can get all kinds of information. You can sign up for the program. I think that it would be worth your while, because the bottom line, from the way I look at it, is these things that we bring your way, whether we're talking about our finances, whether we're talking about where we lived, or our health. And quite honestly, Angela, I think that, as they say, if you have your health, you have everything. Because I tell you what, when I've been in pain, I have not been a happy camper.
Yes, you're right. Health is true wealth.
It is, absolutely. And we want to encourage people to experience what we could call perfect health. And that is, if you're feeling good, if you're doing the things that you want to do. My biggest problem isn't so much my health, although I've suffered through, obviously, with different issues. I have this issue with inflammation from time to time in my knees or my ankles or my feet, you know, this and that and the other. And again, I try to modify the diet a little bit more, because I know that that certainly can contribute to it. There may be some other underlying conditions. But when my health is good, if the weather isn't good, I can't tolerate, you know, really extreme warm weather. I mean, I'm from Phoenix. You'd think I would be able to tolerate anything under 100. I don't like anything over 80. I'm sorry. I've lived in Santa Barbara too long. But when you can get out and do the things that you want to do because you're feeling good and you're energized. It just makes life so much better. But we're not all in that place where we can do that. So let's step one, although this isn't necessarily part of your five steps, is to go to fatiguewarrior.com and check out the program and get involved. Let's talk about the five steps in your program and how that can assist. But before we talk about the five steps, let me ask you about weight. I have seen individuals who were 80, 90 pounds overweight. They weren't obese, but they needed to lose some weight. They had high blood pressure. They were, I don't know if it's type 1, 2. I don't know what the types are, but it's like the first stage diabetes. And so forth and so on. They dropped 80 to 90 pounds. They no longer had high blood pressure. They were no longer diabetic or type 2 or early stage or whatever that was. Their health literally turned around, not overnight, but over the time that they lost this weight. And yet they were being instructed to take all of these medications for these different conditions. Weight loss seems to be almost, on one level, almost a cure-all for a lot of this stuff, right?
Yeah, I think it can be. I mean, we are all bio-individuals, so, you know, our bodies are so different, and what will work for one person may not work for someone else. But I do think it's pretty safe to say that if somebody's carrying a lot of extra weight for their body, they are going to feel better, and some of their symptoms are going to go away when that weight is gone. I think that's a pretty easy blanket statement for most people. And, you know, weight is such a complex issue that, you know, there are, I mean, if you do a Google search on how to lose weight, or, you know, kind of all the like psychological and emotional connections to weight, it's more than just lifestyle habits. However, many people I work with can, you know, drop weight just doing things like you've done, you know, stopping drinking soda. I mean, that one change can, you know, you can lose, gosh, some people, they lose 10, 20, 30 pounds, you know, over a couple of months just from stopping that one thing. So, and then replacing it, you know, trying to find something else that mm-hmm. they enjoy that's healthier. So I agree, weight is a big piece. And a lot of clients that come to me say, you know, hey, I want to feel better, but I also want to lose weight. And so I'm not specifically a weight coach. However, what I tell people is, There's no buts about it. If you follow my program and if we work on your diet, you know, we add in good foods, take away some foods that are maybe sucking your energy, and, you know, we get you on some optimal supplements, and, you know, we work on moving your body regularly, you make all these changes, we're going to work on your mental and emotional health and how you talk to yourself, I guarantee that your weight is going to start to shift and release some of that weight. You know, and then it just depends on those person's goals, how, you know, kind of strict you want to be with things like diet and exercise. But I agree that weight is a big deal. In my family, many people in my family are, you know, obese or overweight and just have so many debilitating conditions that are either created or exacerbated by their weight. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I started doing what I do, because I said, you know, I really want to be on a different path myself, and I want to help other people to really be on that side of prevention. Let's not wait until, you know, you are in such a desperate place that if you went off of your medications, you know, you could pass. Let's get ahead of it in that prevention side so you don't have to necessarily get on all those medications down the road.
I think one thing, too, that people don't seem to realize, I even for a while was using a CPAP machine because I snored. And mm-hmm. I don't recall ever snoring until maybe I got over 100. I was 175 when I was 38. I was 175 pounds. I'm 5'9". Might sound a little thin, but I bicycled everywhere. I had that level of exercise going for me. And I had, you know, I had pretty thick thighs, you know, the muscular in that respect. Mm-hmm. They're not there anymore because I was able to drive at the age of 38, and I haven't bicycled much, hardly at all, especially here in Santa Barbara. But one of the things that I realized was that you don't just lose weight on the outside. You lose weight on the inside, too. It all happens at once. It's all part of the process. And that if there's, you know, pressure on certain, and to me, this goes along with the whole concept of inflammation we talked about in the first segment, that in a manner of speaking, weight gain is inflammation. because, and now it's adding pressure if it's not weight, because they say the more weight you gain, the harder it is on your heart. Even if you don't have high blood pressure, now you're probably going to, because you're not only does your body have to carry that extra weight, but your heart now has to pump blood into the, your extremities that are just working even harder just to move.
Mm-hmm.
To me, weight gain is a form of inflammation, if you will, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And it definitely is related to inflammation. I think they're kind of, you know, affecting the body kind of like twins or, you know, two sides of the same coin. So I think that they can both kind of play off of each other a little bit. And you're right about the pressure, you know, putting the pressure on your body, especially, and then pressure on your joints. You know, you see many people who, especially later in life, need a hip or a knee replacement because partly it may be exacerbated by, you know, all the weight that they've been carrying for so many years. So I think that is huge. And what I would say to listeners who maybe have been trying to lose weight and, you know, maybe they can say, hey, you know, I've changed my diet and I'm exercising more and I'm still not shifting. My weight is not releasing is the word that I prefer to use. I would say that sometimes it can be really helpful to continue to do those things, but also look at the psychological or emotional and mental side of things, because maybe even an emotional eating side. So sometimes working with a trained therapist or a trained coach who specializes in that side of it, sometimes that can be the piece, because I have worked with people where weight loss is more than just, it's not really about the food or even the exercise. It's really about their relationship to their body, maybe some trauma that hasn't been processed from their past. And so there's just, it's a little bit more tricky than just, hey, let me, you know, it's not necessarily always just a calories in, calories out equation.
And I have to say, I was watching news coverage of Hurricane Harvey. And I was watching people in the early stages before it hit the Texas coast full force. People were walking along the roadways, wading through ankle, knee, hip, chest high waters. And I saw, I don't know if this is indicative of Texas because they're big meat eaters or what have you, but, and not that I'm opposed to eating meat, I have my share of meat as well. But I noticed so many people were so large. We're not talking about football players here, and even some of those are, mm-hmm. I'm going, this guy's huge, and I'm not talking, you know, he's 7 feet tall and 250 or 300 pounds, and he's got quite a lot of meat on his bones. No, I'm talking about people that are my height, under 6 feet, and they've got to be tipping the scales at 250, 300 pounds. I saw this one woman, I felt really sad for her. She chose for whatever reason that day to wear fluorescent pink sweatpants.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just huge. And I look at that and I'm going, my goodness, no wonder a lot of folks are crying for help when these disasters happen, because they can't move.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can barely move. And I'm thinking, what has gone wrong with I don't know, the West, Western eating habits. I don't know how to label it. Any comment on your side?
Yeah, I do think, I mean, I'm from the Midwest, you know, I live in Kansas City now, but I did live in Dallas for the past 7 years until about a year and a half ago. So I definitely am familiar with the Texas area. And then I've lived in the Midwest where, you know, we're ranchers, we're meat eaters, you know, a lot of my family, I mean, I'm 6'1" myself, but I've always been very thin, but a lot of my brothers and, you know, my father and a lot of my family were the that we look similar to kind of what you're describing. However, I don't think it's necessarily, you know, a regional thing. I would agree with you that it's a Western cultural thing. So that's where, why I do what I do, because in order for people to really live differently, we have to change the way we perceive the world. We have to change the way we think. We have to just literally kind of go against every message that the culture is telling us. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to do. Even if you just like you, you know, you're like, I want to change. It's still hard to do. So yeah. All of these, you know, in my perception, all these people you're referring to, I'm even thinking of some family members, you know, even if they want to be healthy, maybe they live in a rural area and the only food they can get is, you know, McDonald's or Walmart. That's the case for many of my family, you know, or maybe they, you know, they're surrounded by the television, the people they see every day, all of these cultural messages that are, you know, to be happy means to go, you know, to a restaurant and eat, you know, four times what should be the portion size of, you know, a person for a meal. And so I think it's very cultural. And that's where, you know, I like to believe, and you're probably similar, that I'm part of a revolution of a new way of thinking, you know, kind of new age for health, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy to really, and I've experienced it, you know, when I had my corporate job and I was really in that world more than now that I'm, you know, doing my own business. It was so hard. I was constantly teased and, you know, kind of not taken seriously for how I wanted to live differently. And so that's really another area of why coaches like me are so important in the world today, because it's not just about, you know, it's about availability. It's about people going, you know, kind of going against what their culture is telling them to do. And that's what we are seeing when you see these people. I mean, They're following the messages that they see on TV. They're doing what probably their parents did. And we're seeing that the result is not working for us. So we have to change. And it's going to be uncomfortable for a while we do that.
Yeah. And again, I do recognize that. At the same time, the marketing campaigns that are put out there don't help either. Again, I think that a lot of the conditions that we suffer are due to a lot of our past conditioning, if you will, not necessarily and specifically to food, but as you mentioned, you know, we suffered trauma in a childhood or young adolescent or a young adulthood. And mm-hmm. now I've even heard it phrased this way, that people who have put on a lot of weight like this, that weight they've put on is a shield they've put up to protect mm-hmm. themselves from whatever that was back there. And so it's a combination of, yes, you need to lose the weight, but you also need to deal with the underlying trauma that you went through and go from there. Because, you know, I just don't know how we're going to be a better society if we don't solve these issues within ourselves and get the support that we need to be able to. And again, drop all that weight. I mean, I've heard these wonderful stories over the years, these different, I guess it was television shows where they've got multiple hosts and so forth. And so, okay, well, we're going to go on a diet. We're going to lose X number of pounds. And if you'd like to join us, here's what we're going to do. And da-da-da-da-da. Which is a great thing. You know, don't get me wrong. And then, of course, when they finish after a month or 2 months, how much weight have we lost collectively? You know, 500 pounds or 300, whatever it is. And that's great. And so it's almost like if you can get a support system together, a group of people that want to do this, that want to lose the weight, whatever it is. I mean, when I tipped the scale at 200 pounds, it wasn't the weight that made me feel uncomfortable. It was the number on the scale. I mm-hmm. said, that's not me. Now, I've been down when I first, in 98, I was 175 pounds at 38 years of age. When I moved to Santa Barbara and I started going to see physicians here, I was in the 190s. I've gotten down to 182, and right now I'm hovering around, each day I check, I'm hovering around 195, which on the one hand is okay, but according to my doctor, you know, it wouldn't be bad if you could get down to 185. And one of the things you've talked about, Angela, is about in moderation. My father's great advice, I've shared this before, is eat, drink, and be merry in moderation, because no one gets out of this world alive. Mm-hmm. And that's my dad. And I tend to really agree with that, that I have not been on any diet. Now, I've shared with you the things I've done, but that has had nothing to do with any kind of a diet. I've modified my lifestyle, my eating and drinking habits, because I just don't believe in diets. Because when you're on a diet, there comes a point when, okay, well, I'm going to finish and I'm going to get where I want to be and then I'm done. Whereas if it's just you modify your lifestyle, your eating and your drinking and your exercise, that's something that you can stay with because you're making it a part of who you are.
Yeah, I agree with you about diets. I actually have a blog post on my website about why fad diets don't work. And even though I'm a nutrition coach, I don't necessarily prescribe to a specific diet either. And I have really found, similar to you, that, you know, I eat differently from, you know, one season to the next, from one month to the next. You know, one day I may completely avoid dairy and meat, but then the next day I, you know, need a little bit of meat. So I think that it's very unique to each person. You know, some people thrive on those really strict diets, at least for short term. What I say with the whole diet thing is I think that there is a place for diets when you're working with, let's say, a dietitian and you have a very specific medical condition that needs to be managed really closely, either for a short period of time or a long period of time. But I would say the average person that I work with, the average person that I meet, a diet really isn't going to help them. It may be creating a meal plan of ideas is good in the beginning because then, you know, they don't know where to start, right? So you want to give them some type of guideline, but telling them, hey, there's a specific diet, you have to follow this to be healthy, really is just very unrealistic. And we all have different, I don't know if you've heard of microbiome, but basically our digestion and our gut health is so important. We now know that. And we all have a different makeup in our microbiome, which is in our digestion, all the bacteria that's in our gut. And there's so many things that affect that. And so different foods are going to make you thrive versus make me thrive. So any of those specific prescribed diets, or even saying you need to go on a diet, we've just seen, you know, that was something that was preached often, you know, in the 80s or 90s, maybe even early 2000s. But now it's really more, a little bit more of a trial and error, you know, sticking to a whole foods diet, trying to eat food that looks like it does when it comes out of the ground, you know, trying to eat more whole grains. If you are going to have dairy, you know, try to have it be organic, you know, pasture raised. Local foods are often better. Eating seasonally is better. So those are some things that are in general are better for everyone. But as far as personal tastes and preferences and things like dairy, no dairy, meat, no meat, that kind of stuff, it's very specific to the person and even what you're going through and in your life. You know, men and women eat differently. You probably eat differently now than you did in your 30s and vice versa. So there's, I agree with you that diets, just in general, being on a diet probably isn't a long-term solution for people.
You said something I think is also very important before we could jump into the five steps, and that is eating seasonally. Now, I realize that most animals, from one end of the year to the other, you pretty much eat the same thing. Now, it's growing or living, because some creatures eat other creatures of a smaller nature. But for the most part, their diet is pretty much the same. The fruits and or vegetables that are growing where they live, that's what they eat. But we as human beings have been designed in such a way, and this is my analogy, as sort of a filter. And that if you eat seasonally, i.e. what is being grown in that particular time of the year, then as you change from one season to the next, one food group to the next, your body's filter functions normally. It is able to filter through. It doesn't get bogged down with the same stuff over and over again, which I have a feeling our wonderful transportation system and delivery system, if you will, of food and beverage around the world that allows us to have bananas year round, for example, mm-hmm. as an example, but bananas don't grow year round. They only mm-hmm. grow during a particular time of the year. Or if you're, I may have to take that back, because if they're grown in the tropics, that could be year round. But there are certain mm-hmm. things that we eat and drink that are only grown during certain times of the year. And so as we mm-hmm. shift from one to the other, it helps to sort of cleanse the filter. It keeps the filter clean, so to speak. But if you're eating the same thing over and over again, then the filter gets clogged. Is that a fair analogy?
Yeah, you're touching on kind of two things I think are important. One is getting variety in your diet. So no matter, you know, what type of food you're eating, really mixing that up, because even if you don't have any food allergies, your body can become sensitive to foods that you're eating every day, you know, all year round. So I do think variety is key. The other piece you're touching on is really, you know, ancestry and location. So there are studies that show that people that eat foods that are, you know, local or seasonal to where they're from thrive better. I mean, there are people in Asia, they live on a rice diet. And if I lived on a rice diet, I would be sick and malnourished, how many of them thrive. So there is something to eating food that's connected to your ancestry. So, you know, I'm kind of a blend of Europeans, so really eating foods that are grown and from those areas, but then also connecting to where you live now. So if you do live in a new place for a long period of time, we have seen that our microbiomes, our bodies adjust to that. And so eating locally and seasonally to where you currently live, there's kind of that balance in there. You know, I tell people not to get too stressed out about all this, but to really look at it a little bit. And if you notice that there's a quote unquote healthy food, like I would not say rice is necessarily unhealthy, but yet when I eat a lot of it, I don't feel well. So that's just something that I've just learned over time. You know, even if a food is quote unquote fine for you, like even bananas, some people are sensitive to bananas. If you notice that you just don't feel well, you know, you have some sluggish digestion, maybe you get headaches, you know, that type of thing after you eat it, then that food probably just isn't for you, either for now or for your life, depending on how things go. So I think those are kind of two key factors. And that's why having a coach to work through some of these things one-on-one is really helpful, because when people are going through this stuff, especially with, like you said, all the personal stuff you got going on, the business stuff you got going on, you're just like, ah, screw it. I'll just, you know, go and get some fast food, right?
Exactly.
This is exhausting. So I don't want to deal with it.
So much easier.
Yes, exactly.
Come on.
Yes.
Coach, please. Yeah. Put me in. I know I just had a Big Mac, but it's okay. I'll be all right.
Yes. So that's why it's sometimes good to work with someone who can kind of do some of that research, point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you still are the one that's kind of experimenting with your own body and kind of, you know, listening to your own messages. And if anyone tells you this is exactly what you have to eat to be healthy, I would be skeptical of that. Unless you have a specific medical condition and you're working with a dietitian for a short period of time, that's one exception. Yeah.
And I think the other, that is a very important thing, that short period of time, it can be, it doesn't have to be permanent, doesn't have to be long-term, the rest of your life. I mean, my God, I have to outlive my great grandmother who lived to be 100 years old. So I've got at least 43 years, 42 and a half years to go. Minimum.
Yes.
Minimum.
Yes.
So I want good health here. All right. Let's talk about the five steps in this wonderful program called the Fatigue Warrior. What is step one?
Yes. Yeah, so as you mentioned, I do have a free download that's kind of a sneak peek of the program. So step one is to remove any foods from your diet that tax your adrenal glands. And those foods are caffeine, sugar, and artificial sweeteners, alcohol and soda, processed and microwave foods, and then hydrogenated oils, so like canola and corn oils. All of those foods kind of promote inflammation in your body, and they can make you more sluggish and lethargic. So I tell people at least start reducing those. That's step one.
Okay. Before we go on, you mentioned the hydrogenated oils. What about coconut oil? That's a big fad today.
Coconut oil is great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I do think right now it's been a fad, but, you know, it's interesting about these fads. These things are around for, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of years, and then we just choose them as a fad. So I do think, even though some fads often are kind of silly, I do think the coconut oil, if you can get the unrefined extra virgin coconut oil, ideally organic, I think it's great. I use it every day. I cook with it. I also recommend unrefined extra virgin olive oil, and then organic grass-fed butter or ghee. So those are the things I would recommend instead of the other oils.
Also, when cooking with coconut oil, we learned very, very early on, you must keep the temperature low. It will catch fire if your temperature is too high, because that happened to us.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's not necessarily highly flammable, but, you know, you want to be careful. You don't want to flambé your food if it's not supposed to be.
No, it's pretty, listeners can quickly Google, you know, the temperatures of different oils. So I just have a little cheat sheet in my kitchen. So of those oils, you know, whether it be butter or ghee or olive oil or coconut oil, that's mainly what I use. There are other oils out there that are also healthy. You can quickly Google like the heat temperatures for them. So they are used for different heat temperatures. You're correct.
I also love the aroma when she's cooking with coconut oil, and she even uses it topically. I mean, we have another container where she'll use it on her face and hands and so forth, just as a moisturizer. I mean, this is great.
Yes,
really,
my
really
husband
great.
uses it as a moisturizer. It's great for your hair and your skin, and
Oh, and
know,
you smell so
just
good
all
too.
around. Yes, my husband puts it in his coffee for this bulletproof coffee fad right now that's going on, and he loves it. So,
Oh, I like that. All right, so
it's good.
let's move on to step two.
So step two, so, you know, we don't want to just be removing foods, of course. That's no fun. So then we want to add the nutrient-dense foods to your diet that are easy to digest and they have the healing qualities. So there are lots of foods, but some examples are coconut, so coconut oil, or even shredded coconut, dried coconut, olives, so olive oil. Avocado is great, some really healthy fats. Cruciferous vegetables like cauliflower and broccoli or Brussels sprouts, you know, fatty fish like wild-caught salmon, even chicken and turkey if they're organic and pasture-raised, nuts, seeds, kelp and seaweed, and then Celtic or Himalayan sea salt. Those are all foods that we want to be working through your diet pretty regularly.
Why is Himalayan sea salt better than a Morton's iodized salt or any other?
Yeah, so this is controversial in nutrition. You know, nutrition science is one of those things where, you know, two different people will be potentially even correct, but say different things.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with the sea salt is with the iodized salt, the table salt, I in general don't recommend that to people anymore because it's got the added iodine. Years ago, gosh, I don't know when it was, but I know I read some research on this a couple years ago. Years ago, most people were deficient in iodine. So the government said, all right, let's put some iodine in all the salt, kind of like how they, you know, infuse bread and milk with vitamins. But these days, you know, not that iodine doesn't have its place, I don't think you necessarily everybody needs to be putting iodine in their salt. So I think that it's just a lower quality. However, you will find some nutrition specialists that say, oh, salt is salt. Whatever you get is the same. So I usually say avoid the iodized salt, but everything else, whether it's Celtic or Himalayan or it's pink or not pink, it probably is about the same in quality.
Yeah.
It just depends on how much you want to pay.
I've heard that Himalayan salt or sea salt in general is and again, you get two people in the room, they may say opposite things, is better for you from the standpoint of someone like myself who has high blood pressure that, and I may be wrong here, from what I heard, does not contribute to. I mean, again, you don't pour it on, but you can use it in the same way you did iodized salt, but you're not going to affect your blood pressure in the same way.
Okay.
I don't know
okay.
if that's true or not, but I mean, it's just something that I think I've heard or read somewhere, and that's why it was better for me because it wasn't going to exacerbate my blood pressure.
Yeah, I have not researched that, so that may be true. And just like you said, they're constantly doing new studies out there, and it can be confusing because one year you're told it's good, the next year you're told it's not good, but I do in general recommend it. And if you do have a doctor that's recommending that to you, I'd tell every listener, you know, be proactive, do some research yourself.
Yeah.
And if you try it and you feel okay, then it's probably okay.
Yeah. I tell your husband that's wonderful using coconut oil in his coffee, but October 1st, they will come out with a counter and say it's bad for you. So he's got a few days left.
That's true. Just bulletproof. Coffee thing is all the rage right now, so yes.
Let's give them step three.
All right, so step three goes back to what we were talking about with the culture and how much we eat. So step three is to eat a light, balanced meal every 90 minutes to 2 hours. Now, again, remember that these five steps are for someone who is experiencing adrenal fatigue. So if you're someone who's not struggling with energy or exhaustion, you may be able to get away with, you know, eating a little less often. However, if you really are struggling with adrenal fatigue, if you've been diagnosed with that, or you're really exhausted all the time, I do think eating less food, but more often, is going to be better, mainly because you're going to be able to keep your blood sugar balanced, which is one of the main pillars of health, kind of like keeping your digestion balanced. And also, you're going to be able to keep your digestion. Give
it's
it a
12
break.
O'clock.
You know,
this is Andy
so
called.
So much on your digestion. Because if you eat a huge meal at lunch or any time during the day, a couple hours later, your body's going to want to go to sleep so that it can digest. So I say, you know, eat a little bit less, but then, you know, I mean, use the grazing approach. I mean, I probably eat every 2 hours, you know, something small or average size. I think that's a little bit better.
I would tend to agree. Step four.
Step four is about supplementation. So I recommend core four supplements every day. So, you know, this could be a whole radio show that we could do together, but in an ideal world, your diet would be filled with whole, real foods, your gut would be in perfect shape, and you'd be able to absorb everything you eat, and you wouldn't need supplements. But we don't really live in that world anymore. So even if we do eat all of, you know, organic food and potentially even if we eat straight from the land that we grow, our soil is a little bit more deficient, if not a lot more deficient than it was years ago. So we need to supplement to get everything we need. And I recommend 4 supplements, a high quality multivitamin, omega-3s, so like EPA, DHA, and fish oil. Vitamin D for most people, you may want to get your labs checked, but most people are deficient in vitamin D. And then also a probiotic because it helps with your digestion.
Okay. I haven't had my lab. That's the one thing I found so fascinating is the labs. I go downstairs to the basement where they draw the blood and so forth. And I still, like I said, I still remember when they told me, high blood pressure, and these are your readings. As a matter of fact, my blood pressure, I have a record high of 184 over 120.
Okay.
And, of course, my wife, who has been in cardiology for decades, she says, you're not in the stroke zone. You own it. And so immediately I'm whisked off to do whatever needs to be done in that regard. But I just find it so fascinating, again, that there are so many things that can hurt your metabolism. In this case, in my case, blood pressure, and also can really help. And I think we need to find those things. And I know that other aspect is true, too. What's number 5?
So number 5 is focusing on reducing stress on your body and mind. So really practicing more of a self-care. So this is where sometimes I'll work with clients, and I experienced myself, where even if you're on all the best supplements in the world and you're eating a great diet, you still may experience exhaustion. And it may be because your body and your mind are just overtaxed. So this is where I recommend resting as much as you can. You know, if you can, sleep 8 to 10 hours a night. I mean, I know that sounds impossible, but I find that when people really make that a priority, sometimes you can move your life around to be able to sleep a little bit more. You know, working on things like deep belly breathing, exercising regularly, but even just walking, you know, doing things that you love. And then we talked about the support, you know, avoiding negative people and negative self-talk, surrounding yourself with people that encourage you, and, you know, processing any deep pain or trauma in your life, seeking support from a coach or therapist if you have some unresolved emotions. So there's kind of a long list of things that could apply in that category, but it's all under the really working on reducing the stress in on your body and in your mind.
Mm. Very important to look at all of these factors as we go through. And of course, this is all available at your website, which is fatiguewarrior.com. You do have a free newsletter. You can get a sneak peek at more of the Fatigue Warrior program and get more information in that regard. And we encourage people to do that. It has been utterly fascinating to converse about these things because of the fact that they are so important. Again, as we've talked before, if you don't have your health, you really don't have much of anything. And we all want to be able to live vibrant lives, to live excited lives, to thrive, and to change our lives and the lives of the people around us. By the way, going back to what I made the comment before about your support system, one of the things that I've concluded about that is that there's an old saying that says you can't change other people, and I say that is not true. You can change other people, and the way you do that is you change yourself, because either those people who are around you prior to your change are going to like it and want to hang around, or they're going to hate it and they're going to move as far away from you as humanly possible. So you actually can change other people by changing yourself. So don't kid yourself. And if it doesn't happen actively, maybe you need to take a look at that and go through the process of changing your life and saying, hey, look, you know, if I can't get the support from you that I really desperately need, then I'm going to have to ask you to move on just simply because I need the support. I want to do this. This is important to me And so put that forth to the individual and let them know that that's what you want. Angela Watson, I thank you so much for joining us here on the program. This has been exciting. I also say, too, that if you happen to be in the area of Santa Barbara, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation. And this is really exciting stuff that people not only are starting to learn about, but are starting to incorporate in their lives. And that's really, really important as well.
Thank you, Richard. It's been great. Thanks for having me.
Before we let you go, though, I wanted to ask you three final questions that I ask all of my guests, mm-hmm. and it's something that we like to talk about and bring about as well. One of these days, maybe I'll take all of the answers and put them all together in some format. But in the meantime, first of all, the first question is, who is Angela Watson?
Oh, gosh, I am a complicated person. So my full name, Angela Watson Robertson. I'm a certified integrative nutrition health coach and a life reinvention expert, and I am here to help others live an authentic and balanced life. That is me.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
I hope to help people feel more inspired and empowered and vibrant in their life so that they can do the work they're meant to do. Because as you mentioned, if you don't have health, you can't fill your life's purpose.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
Well, I'm reading my mission statement right now on my desk. So to share my story, teach and inspire others to live an authentic and balanced life.
Angela Watson, thank you so much again for joining us on the program. Again, the website is fatiguewarrior.com. That's also the name of the program. We encourage you to check it out and see if it works for you. You're not going to hurt yourself. You've also got a coach who will be there to help and support you, won't you?
Yes. Thank you so much, Richard. I look forward to connecting with everyone.
You bet. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time. Love to Lal.